Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about the faith in our everyday, ordinary life, especially how we can encounter it through really great books. And today I have a really great book to share with you. It is called Praying the Rosary with Sacred Art, Mysteries Made Visible. And I told Father before we went live that my Boston would show, and I think it just did when I said sacred art. So we have today with us a Father Lawrence Liu, who is a Dominican, and he's in London. This is so exciting for me. Thank you so much, Father, for being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, especially on this feast day.
Oh, yes, we are recording live today on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, such a special day in our church. And given our love, both obviously of the Blessed Mother and the Rosary, you are right. This is a beautiful day for this interview. So first, let's start by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I am a Dominican of the province of England. And I was actually born in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. And I lived for part of my childhood years in Malaysia, grew up in Singapore, where I was sent to a Catholic boys' school. And it was there that I became a Catholic. Before that, I was born to a Protestant family, a very devout evangelical Protestant family. And then became a Catholic in my teenage years, then came to England to study law. I have a degree in civil law, English civil law from the north of England. And when I finished my studies, I realized that I was more interested in reading theology than in reading legal cases. So I thought perhaps I should become a priest. I joined the Diocese of Leeds to begin with, but then found that I really wanted to live in community. I guess I needed more penance in my life. So I joined the Order of Preachers. It took me a bit of time, but God showed me the way to the Order of Preachers. And I'm sure that Our Lady has a very big hand in that, because, you know, the order, we say, is the fruit of Our Lady's prayers. Mm-hmm. Our Lady begged her son to give to the world, you know, a beautiful act of mercy. And mercy from God is shown through preaching the gospel, teaching against error, teaching the truth, and preaching the gospel of truth. And so the order of preachers, we say, is the fruit of Our Lady's prayers. And of course, the order is also responsible for the promotion and the propagation of the rosary. And the tradition goes that Our Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic and trusted it to him and said to him, preach my Psalter, preach the rosary in order to overcome heresies in this world. And so although I became a Catholic with a great love for our Lord Jesus, but no real familiarity with Mary, no great love for Mary, you know, Our Lady found her way into my life. And now I find myself in the order that Mary founded. And I wear the habit that Mary revealed to St. Dominic. And I also became rector eventually of the Rosary Shrine here in London. This is the Shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary that I serve as the rector. I am the prior of the Dominican community here. And I am also the parish priest of the parish here.
Oh my goodness.
Three hats. And my fourth hat, which is my favorite hat, I guess, is to be promoted general of the Holy Rosary. So to my shock and surprise, in October 2019, the Master of the Dominican Order invited me to become promoted general of the Rosary. And that's the task of preaching and promoting the Rosary throughout the world for the Dominican Order and within the Dominican Order. So that's my my fourth hat. And it's with that hat on that I wrote this book.
Well, I see why the Blessed Mother brought us together, especially today, because not only do I wear a million hats in my own role here in the United States, but I also work for Family Rosary. Oh, I was going to say, I also used to be in law. I was a paralegal and for my first career, and then kind of reverted back to the Catholic Church. And once I was in, I wanted everybody to know how amazing this faith was, and to share the good news. So in a little way, I'm a little bit of a preacher as well, doing women's ministry and sharing the good news. But what I really love is the fact that I get to work for Father Patrick Peyton's ministry in Family Rosary. And I do love Blessed Bartolo Lo Luengo, one of the reasons I started to share the rosary myself was that those who propagate the rosary, the Blessed Mother has said she will, there's a special blessing for you. There's a special grace that comes with that and that she will be with you. So it just must be amazing to be able to share this rosary. And what is it about the rosary that drew you to it and makes you so excited to share it with others?
Well, I have to be honest, I found the rosary difficult for many, many years. And in fact, it came as a bit of a shock to me after my novitiate, when I realized that we have to pray 5 decades of the rosary a day as Dominicans. And I'm like, what? I've never done this. You know, I kind of struggle with saying the rosary. And I would often do it out of guilt rather than out of any kind of pleasure or delight. Yeah. And it was really a slow process. But I have to say that the heart of it, what drew me to the rosary, is really when I started working here in the Rosary Shrine. And I thought, well, you know, I can't really work in the Rosary Shrine and not say the Rosary regularly. And fortunately, before that, I'd spent some time at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C., where I've got a community of 90 Dominican friars, praying the Rosary together. Wow. And, you know, when you've got lots of people praying the Rosary, it's easier to sort of slip in and sort of be carried along by the wave of faith and devotion. And so I learned to pray the rosary as a group there, and I learned to take it up more regularly. And of course, at the back of my mind, I always wanted to try and do what the constitutions of the Dominican order wants me to do. And so I knew it was a good thing to do. But what really clinched it for me is realizing that our Blessed Mother really, really, really wants us to pray the rosary. She loves the rosary, and she believes that it is a remedy for sin, a remedy for the ills of our time, and it's the key to peace in our world. As you said earlier, just now, you know, what Father Peyton said about praying the rosary. And so I decided that, you know, I love Our Lady and I do trust her, and she's my mother and she knows what's best for me. And so if my mother prescribes that I should pray a rosary a day for peace and for an end to the war, as she said to the children at Fatima, mm-hmm. Who am I to say no, right? It's because of my love for Mary and my trust in her that I've started praying the rosary. Do I still struggle with it? Yes, I do. But I use things to capture my imagination and keep me focused, like art and music, both very important to me in my life, art and music. And I take the rosary with me wherever I go because I wear it on my belt.
Of course.
I can pray the rosary as I walk, when I'm walking to visit parishioners, when I'm walking to the shop to get, you know, dinner for the brothers, when I sit in the bus or when I wait for the train to come. These are all things that we do every day in London. I know that in the States, you probably don't have to wait for the bus or take the train that much.
Some people do.
Some people do. Yes, probably in your area, they do more than in others. But, you know, I just think that the rosary is the ideal prayer for traveling with.
I love that. One of the things that I started to do, I also struggle with the rosary. And I laughed when I received this. I actually did a novena to Father Patrick Peyton, and the job kind of came out of nowhere to work for his ministry. And the intention was, ask the Lord to use my gifts and talents where he sees best fit. And I just still smile when I see that Father Peyton's response to my novena was his own ministry. I was like, way to fill the roles still from heaven. I love that. But I struggle with it as well. And I laughed. I said almost the same thing you said, Father, was how can I be part of a ministry or a work that shares the rosary and says, you know, please pray this every day. This is so important to pray it every day and not to do that myself. And I'm still very much a work in progress, but I, like you, find different ways in the car while I'm walking. Sometimes I find I get very distracted when I sit to pray the rosary. So if I get up, leave my phone behind, go outside, or even sometimes walk around in circles in my dining room, just because it keeps you, it's almost like a maze, right? That I love that labyrinth kind of prayer where you just follow that maze and your brain can stay focused and you don't have to worry about where you're going. So I've kind of done that as well. And I love your book. And one of the reasons I wanted to share your beautiful work with our listeners was that, again, we're talking today about the book Praying the Rosary with Sacred Art, Mysteries Made Visible with Father Lawrence Liu. And this is out from Ignatius, right? Is that correct? Okay. Yeah. I knew, I was like, usually it's like on the back of the book, but today it's not. Anyway, so what you've done is super, it's different. I loved how unique it was. I loved that you gave this Visio Divina, which I'm a big fan of, where we take sacred images or any images, and we look at them through the lens of our faith, through the eyes of God. Can you tell us a little bit about this book? And I believe you are the photographer as well.
Yes, I am. Yes. So for photography, was the hobby I took up as a novice. And I was just reading on Twitter recently, other Dominican friars were saying that, you know, it's important to have a hobby, that priests have something fairly low cost that they can do. And digital photography was new at the time, and low cost in the sense that once you had the equipment, you didn't have to spend lots of money developing like we used to in the past. People remember film. That was a costly hobby to have because often your photographs didn't turn out the way you wanted. So with digital, it's really revolutionized everything. And I got into that very early, and I live in a country full of beautiful churches. I was in Cambridge as a novice, and then I moved to Oxford as a Dominican student brother. These are both beautiful places, great architecture, great churches with lots of history and art. And so I was fascinated really by stained glass windows. And I began by photographing stained glass windows with the intention that those colorful depictions of the lives of the saints or of our Lord and the Gospels, that these images should be used in catechesis. Like in those days, I would have done a PowerPoint presentation and sort of accompanied my talk with these slides of colorful images. I started doing that in the Philippines, where I worked as a lay missionary before joining the order. And I had plans to do this, but as, you know, as Providence would have it, although I have the collection of stained glass windows, I've never given catechesis since then to kids using these pictures. And in fact, the Dominican sisters in Nashville, a few years ago, there was a year of the family celebrated in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And sisters produced a beautiful book published by St. Benedict's Press, TAN Publications, called A Short Guide to Praying as a Family. And the text is written by the Dominican sisters in Nashville. And they used over 180, I think, of my stained glass window photographs.
Oh, my goodness.
Still available on Amazon, I believe.
And I just have to, this is so amazing. My daughter is adopted from China and she's profoundly deaf. And I started to teach her when I got her home at almost 4 years old. I taught her the faith using stained glass windows. So I'm going to find this book because, I mean, she's 16 now, but I'm still trying to teach her the faith. And it's just incredible to me how without any language, these images just to teach so much. They open the gospel, they open the good news in such a miraculous and mystical, beautiful way that I don't think we realize as Catholics, and I didn't until I was trying to search for these ways to bring the faith to my daughter, whose name happens to be Faith as well.
Oh, wonderful. I'll pray for that.
Thank you.
And I mean, I just wanted to draw people's attention to these beautiful artwork that surrounds us in our churches. And that's what my photography was about. I have a Flickr page, if people still use Flickr, but I do. And a Flickr page where I met a community of fellow photographers, and I upload photographs on my Flickr page every day. I've done this for 15 years now. And every day, one photograph that accompanies the liturgy of the day, either the saint of the day, the feast of the day, or the scripture readings of the day. And I've been doing that for a number of years. And so when my provincial invited me to produce a photograph book last year in 2021 for the 800th anniversary of the Dominicans in England, I said yes because the provincial had suggested it, and I was very, very flattered and moved to be asked by him. Other people have suggested it to me. I've been asked to do calendars and so on. And I've always resisted, or I've said, well, you can take the pictures that you want and you can publish it, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to, as it were, publicize myself. But I was happy for people to use my images for the glory of God and for the preaching of the gospel. So when the provincial asked me to do this, I said yes. And it came at around the time that the Catholic Truth Society, which is a publishing charity based here in London, they're called the Publishers to the Holy See because they have been publishing books to the oldest Catholic publishers in this country. And they were given the title Publishers to the Holy See by Pope Leo XIII, I think it was. Anyway, they asked me in my role as Promoter General of the Rosary and Rector of the Rosary Shrine to produce a rosary book. And so I wrote to the publisher and I said, okay, I think I can only manage one book since it's my first book. So how about we do a photo book with reflections on the rosary? Let's put both together.
Yeah.
And that's the product we came up with. It was published in the UK by the Catholic Truth Society in 2021 to coincide with the Feast of the Holy Rosary and also the 450th anniversary of the Battle of Lepanto, which is so important in the history of the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll find references to that in my introduction. And it carries a foreword from the Master of the Dominican Order because it is part of my official work as Promoter General of the Rosary. I was delighted that this book was published in this format. It is almost a perfect reproduction of the original English edition. And you're holding there the Ignatius Press US edition. And for once, the US was behind the UK, so that was published almost a year later, the Ignatius Press edition. And I am just delighted to be published by Ignatius Press because when I first became a Catholic and my many formative years as a young Catholic, it was Ignatius Press books that were helping me.
Oh, wow. I love those coincidence moments, right? Like, it seems like things are so random, but we know they're not. God is always at work. And I love when you can...
Providence, definitely.
Oh, that's lovely.
So that's the story really behind why it is a photograph book and why I take photographs. I do this to help people to understand the mysteries of God's love for us better. And to help them to, you know, visit churches and to see what's around and try and understand that better. And in fact, again, you know, by God's grace and providence, I'm currently in the process of working out a new book to be published for 2024, I believe, to be published by OSV, our Sunday Visitor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to produce a big book with images of churches and church art, and I'll be giving the guided tour, so explaining what the architecture is about, what we're looking at, and why the saints, you know, have these different attributes, like one will hold a sword and another one has a star on his brow, you know, all these different symbols. And I'll be sort of demystifying them, helping us to understand what we're looking at. Now, that's
excited.
That's what I wanted to do from the very beginning. And again, I didn't ask to write this book. I was approached by the publisher. So I'm just being led by God and doing what I can.
I just finished my first, I have books with OSV, but I just finished my first book with our Ave Maria Press, Encountering Signs of Faith, where I tell the story of my daughter's adoption. And in writing it, I discovered that I am just God's stenographer. I none of this stuff is real. Like, I talk about the sacramentals of the church and just how God interweaves our stories so beautifully when we prepare our hearts to receive the grace that he has for us. And I'm just amazed by that we who surrender our lives to God, he is just so faithful and generous and just overwhelming some days. I feel that overwhelmingness. And what I loved about your book, Praying the Rosary with Sacred Heart and Mysteries Made Visible, is what you help do is make the rosary more accessible. I grew up praying the rosary, but we only did the Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And quite honestly, Father, we only prayed during thunder and lightning storms until true story, my house was struck by lightning. Well, we were protected, but at that time I didn't see it that way. I saw it like, well, I was praying for this, and you know, and the house still got struck. So apparently prayer, especially the rosary, doesn't work. But I was never, true story, but I was never taught the mysteries. I was never, as John Paul II says, entered the school of Mary and used the rosary as catechesis to learn more, to go deeper into my faith. And what I love what you've done in this book is that you've given us images and words and prayer that brings all of that together. And we can see that the rosary is so much more than this rote obligation, but it's truly a beautiful devotion that I sometimes feel like I'm holding Mary's hand when I'm holding my beads, and I'm, especially if I'm having a really difficult day, like I feel like I am so close to our Blessed Mother and she is homeschooling me, or she's the one teaching me about our Lord, and it draws us ever closer. But I don't think that is taught very, especially here in the United States, it's not taught very much in our own catechesis. And I love how you've brought that all together in this beautiful book.
Thank you so much. I mean, you said so much you said there, which is so inspiring and so true. Firstly, I was going to point out that, you know, the rosary was given to Dominicans, and it is therefore intertwined with Dominican spirituality and the Dominican mission. The mission of St. Dominic and the sons and daughters of St. Dominic has always been to overcome dualism. And this is the problem where we separate body and soul. And so the rosary combines body and soul. It is a combination, and I think quite a unique combination, of mental prayer, where you have, you know, where you visualize the particular scenes in the life of Christ. And you combine mental prayer with vocal prayer. So you're saying the prayers aloud. You can softly say them, or you can say them aloud with other people. But also there's sort of bodily prayer. So, you know, I always say your fingers walk along the beads.
Oh, I love that.
You know, you're sort of walking along. My one of our former provincials used to talk about kneading dough. It's like making dough.
Oh, I love that.
And you're just... You said that you even walk around the table when you pray the rosary. And I thought, well, that's perfect, because you see, the rosary, I don't think, is meant to be said static in one place. You're meant to be moving, because it's bodily prayer. So you've got the whole body moving. You've got then the mind focused and, you know, the lips speaking. It's a whole person thing. Body and soul is involved in this prayer. How beautiful is that? And that is very true to the way that St. Dominic prayed. There's a beautiful medieval document left to us called the Nine Ways of Prayer of St. Dominic. And Dominic was always praying with his body, you know, all kinds of postures and while saying words, you know. So the rosary, I think, encapsulates that aspect of Dominican life, our Dominican spirituality. And the other thing that it does is it's because it's Dominican, it's very theological. It's very theological. And this is what I mean by contemplating the mysteries, making the mysteries visible. The rosary is a preaching of the heart of the gospel. In my introduction, I talk about this. You know, what is at the heart of the gospel? What is it that makes us Christian? And what's so special about being Christian? If someone says to you, why should I become a Christian?
Yeah.
What is your answer? And I tell you, the answer is given in one little phrase from St. Athanasius. God became man so that man might become God.
I love that one.
No other religion dares to proclaim that human beings can be elevated beyond our human nature to the share in the divine nature.
Wow.
Okay? Any other religion, if you told them that, they think we're mad. But we can dare to dream of this because Christ himself has revealed it. And he has revealed it by becoming man, which is the other crazy Christian thing, God becoming man.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, the rosary proclaims God becoming man so that man might become God. Mm-hmm. And at the heart of it then is the incarnation. In Jesus Christ, we have heaven and earth coming together, God and man together. And so everything that's dualistic in a sinful world that wants to divide and polarize is brought together. The rosary constantly does that, reminding us of the unity that we find in Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, when you take the rosary and you pray it as you go about your jobs, as you walk in the streets and so on, you're taking the sacred into the so-called profane world, and we're bringing the two together, because that's what Jesus did when he became man. The incarnation, the logic of the incarnation, is about divinizing, sanctifying, redeeming the whole world. And so I say to people, and I talk about this in my book as well, you pray the rosary one decade at a time, interspersed throughout the day. Mm. You know, don't think I can only pray the rosary when I'm kneeling in church or kneeling in my special prayer corner. You know, you can take the rosary anywhere, because we have to bring the gospel into the world and bring that light to shine wherever we go. That is the logic of the incarnation, which of course is time of Advent, as we approach Christmastide. This is what we're contemplating. The scandal, if you want to call it that, of the incarnation, that's St. Irenaeus' words, the scandal of the incarnation, the marvel, the wonder of God becoming man among us. The rosary preaches that and proclaims that. And yes, you're right. We are taught to understand this mystery a little better by our Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. And she is the first one who had to really understand this amazing mystery, right? When Gabriel came and said to her that her womb is going to be the dwelling place of God. You know, so Our Lady teaches us how to cope, I suppose, with this wonderful mystery.
She's such an incredible model. And I'm so grateful that I accepted God's grace to recognize that. You know, it took me a while. I was much older before I realized that. So I'm really excited to be able to share your beautiful work, to share your preaching. I'm like ready now to move to London just so I can go hear your homilies every day. I could listen to you preach all day long and share the faith. Just such a gift of time with you today, Father Lawrence Liu. Thank you so much. We've been talking today with Father Lawrence Liu. His book, Praying the Rosary with Sacred Art, Mysteries Made Visible, available through Ignatius Press. Of course, I always encourage people to go and patronize your local Catholic or Christian or shrine bookstore. If you're looking for something, then you help that store bring another beautiful book into their inventory. But you're also helping them in their mission. And obviously you can also buy this wherever you buy your books online. But first and foremost, find that small Catholic seller and support their beautiful work. Father, before we go, I would really love for you to bless us, those listening to today's podcast.
Of course. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, and for all those who have tuned in or who are watching this. We ask those who are devoted to you that they may grow in devotion, grow in love. And we ask that those who do not yet know you may come to know you through the preaching of the rosary and through the witness of Christians and families throughout the world. We ask for the protection of the Immaculate Virgin Mother and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to come down upon us all and to remain with us forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.